We've been missing you. Do you want to find the witch friends you've been missing? Do you want to participate in these conversations live? And do you want to support the work of recovering a true history of feminist ideas about magic? Do you want to hang out? Do you want an invite to Zoom together with Amy and myself every new moon, along with our hilarious, diverse, wise, queer, creative, anti-racist, science, and awe-loving coven? You must join the Missing Witches Patreon. It's pay what you can, and we can't wait to meet you there. Patreon.com/missingwitches.
You aren't being a proper woman, therefore you must be a witch. You must be a witch.
You're sort of, or I was anyway, as a little girl, presented with like the princess and the witch. And those were the two archetypes and those were the choices. And I related not to the princess at all in any way. I didn't want to be a damsel in distress. I wanted to be woods making magic. And so very much like Risa said, like I didn't have like a, you know, come to witch moment. It was just like, these are your choices. And I've chosen this one before I was conscious of, you know, being able to do that, because it really felt like that. It was like, you're a princess or you're a witch. And for me, the decision was very clear.
For me, I think it was very similar to Amy, where it was, you either get to be the princess or the witch. And for me, it was almost like, I always wanted to rescue the princess. I always wanted to protect. And so I should have known I was lesbian back then, but I didn't.
I mean, like, you were a witch before.
Is there a third option? I just knew there was something different. And I always was like the weird one too. The weird one that, you know, had onion on the bottom of their feet and hung out in the middle of trees and would hug things that were animals and nature and herbs, and I would chew things, and people were like, what are you chewing that root for? And things like that. I would just always get these questions, right? And it was not cool. You know, I'm 50 years old. It was not cool when I was growing up to kind of be it by yourself, just kind of going, oh, I guess I'll just have some Kit Kat and my peanut butter sandwich and be by myself for a little while. And it wasn't until I got into high school that it was like, you know, all these different movies would come out and different genres of things where it was like, ooh, now it's cool to be who you are. And it was just kind of like, wait, where were you when I was 10?
Where were you when I needed you the most?
Right. Right. I've just seen all these cool things and very cool jewelry and bracelets. And, you know, I could go into Hot Topic and get something in the mall that I could use in ritual. And I'm like, where was that? I never got to have any of that. Yeah, it was very different.
Mm-hmm. Not that I'm like the interviewer here at all, but I am curious, you know, because it is something I'm always interested by, people that proudly wore it on their sleeve before it was cool. What's it like now, you know, like seeing, because I know I have my own feelings with witch talk and things like that. I'll say it up front, like I have a love-hate relationship with witch talk, because I do feel like it could maybe help bring others to into it, to where they're not looking at it in this demonic, inherently demonic way. Not that I have anything against, you know, demons and Satan. But
not that I have anything against demons.
Not that I have anything against Satan. Yeah.
I know that's great.
That's right.
I'm obviously on board.
Yeah.
But, you know, coming from a fundamentalist Christian conservative upbringing myself and knowing how people look at that, How do y'all feel? Like, I know, like, the craft, there's that era of the craft ushered in, like, ooh,
oh, yeah,
be Wiccan now. And then Tumblr was like 2011, 2012-ish, where it was like, ooh, we want to be eclectic witch or witch now, da da da. And then now you have witch talk, where it's like opened up, and I think I'm thankful for TikTok for this, where it's opened up a whole horizon of hoodoo, vodou, santeria, all these things. Like, how do y'all feel about it? Yeah, I guess. I just want to know. I'm curious.
Go ahead, Sherry.
There were a couple of movies that changed my life when I was growing up as a hoodoo practitioner. The first one was Skeleton Key. When Skeleton Key came back, and that was the one that had Kate Hudson in it. And I remember watching that and also watching Angel Heart with Lisa Bonet. And I remember watching those movies and kind of taking away the fluff of whatever the hell they were doing.
Right.
But understanding and kind of going, wait, they're like doing stuff that we've been doing in my background forever, and they're okay. They didn't, you know, burst into flames. Nothing happened to them. They were fine. And when Lisa Bonet was doing this scene that I heard when people did it, they walked out of the theater, and I was like, I wouldn't have been walking out of the theater. I'd have been like, what's in that bowl?
Yeah. What did they walk out of the theater for?
They were walking out of the theater because she was doing a ritual with chicken. And with chicken, she slit the throat and was dancing with the blood of the chicken dripping over her.
Wait, that's what sent everybody?
Oh, yeah. They were so triggered, and they all left it. It was just, I remember Oprah talking about the movie and kind of going, could you believe it? And we all just stood up. And I was just kind of like, girl, come on.
Yeah.
Embrace your root.
This was around the time that, like, the world collapsed because Janet Jackson's boob was on television for a quarter of a second. So you have to remember, like,
how the time dare a little you different. Bear a brown breast. Yeah, how dare you bear a brown breast in front of us? We're going to just, it's going to kill us.
We're going to blame the woman or blame the...
Oh, of course.
Yeah, because...
Of course.
It's her fault her boob came out.
It's her fault.
The shit away.
Right.
Right. And the practice that's evil isn't the one that's been practiced for like 30,000 years that has like deep roots all across the world and connection to the earth. It's the, you know, it's the colonizers who impose their religion who get to decide who the fuck is evil.
Yes.
Like, not only that, to me, it's wild that these are the same. And look, I was vegan for like 2.5 years and I'm still predominantly vegetarian, right? This is the same people that like don't, that like put their dogs on a pedestal more than human.
Yes.
They're the same people that like would go hunting and quail and deer and shit. But oh no, Lisa Bonet, ritual and something.
Her blood
honors the life. Yes.
I think it's really super relevant to men through a 2021 lens. That a lot of the problem with Lisa Bonet was that Bill Cosby was very invested in her.
Yes. And now we know probably a little bit more.
So you know, years later, the lens is very, very different than we might have seen it through at that time, where we were all team. You know, Cosby's the greatest man and the role model for our families, and now we know better. Right?
And now we know better. And how dare she walk away from that kind of what some would find, oh, this was the way that her acting career should go. And she was like, no, I'm going to embrace other things and learn more about myself and my craft. And practice and go into different categories that I find are more challenging as an actor. And we demonized her for it, you know? And even now, I find that even her rise now through her daughter is kind of because of who she married. Mm-hmm. We still don't give her her feminine power of saying, look at you, you survived, you're a survivor. We go, oh no, you're married to somebody hot. What?
I mean...
She is.
I will not kick Jason Momoa out of my bed ever. But
I mean, you're correct. You're not. Yeah, that's so true. That's why I love hearing your your perspective on it, because I feel like I was like, I grew up on Prince and Lenny, and Prince and Lenny.
Prince and Lenny. I remember being personally offended when she and Lenny broke up, and I was like, wait. And I will never forget one of her statements in Jet Magazine. She said, they always want to keep us as their slave or their whore. That's what husbands want. And I was like, whoa, you can't say whore on Jet Magazine. I just...
And everyone called her crazy. They were like,
they called her so crazy.
Yeah. Now you can see her shit like as a sound on TikTok, because mm-hmm. she's right next to, I would say slightly underneath, Eartha Kitt. Because when Eartha Kitt did her whole interview about a man, ha! Oh my God, I love that. That's like my favorite.
She just bursts out laughing.
You know, I love my man, but it was just kind of like this moment in time where we were like, yes. Oh, wait, she said it. She said it.
And she was correct.
And she was correct. She was correct.
But not even 99.9. No, she was 100%.
She was 100% correct. 100% correct. And she was, there's so many of us that, you know, we come out, we speak our truth, and the society comes out and they take their thumb and they go, oh, sister.
You're like, sure.
We gotta squish you. Yeah, exactly. Let's squish you back into your little chore. You thought you could come out of that. No, sorry. Go back to the corner.
Yeah. It reminds me of Sunday school when little Brooklyn was asking too many questions. They're like, get her out. Get out.
Right. Don't you dare ask.
Yeah.
Why this was written a certain way. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely.
That's when you knew you were a witch.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Sunday school for asking too many questions.
Yeah. That's
oh, yeah.
I think a lot of us knew that we were at least other. Mm-hmm. And so they're like, shh, okay, can we get her out? Mm-hmm. Get her out of the class.
Oh, yes. Yeah. We need more of them. We need more Brooklyns in the churches.
More Brooklyns in the churches.
More Brooklyns in the churches.
Another good sticker.
Yeah. I tell people all the time that, you know, the hurtful verse of the Bible that I always use to empower is, study to show thyself approved. We were not meant to shut up.
Amen. So be it.
Blessed fucking be, as we like to say.
Blessed fucking be. Another fucking sticker. Rich.
I'm like,
rich.
Yes.
I'm going to just take like 20 steps back and say, welcome to Missing Witches podcast.
I'm so sorry. I just like hopped in and was like, let's go.
We're like, I have a question and a follow-up question, which I love. No,
I'm
you're perfect.
I'm fucking in.
Like, I'm taking over this interview. Be adjourned. No, I that was fucking perfect. And we'll just leave it like that. It doesn't need to be cut. But I'm going to do it anyway, because I want to say welcome. I want to say welcome to the people who joined to listen live, and I want to say welcome to the people who are joining us across space and time, finding this podcast in their ears. We are making a circle between our ears. We're going to laugh and tell everyone to fuck off, and we're going to tell the truth and be honest together. Amy and I are here. We have a special co-host today, Sherry Stone, coven mate, author, that hoodoo lady, just like a beloved friend and hero that we knew needed to be with us today. And we have a guest that we're so excited about. If you are a member of the Missing Witches Coven, or if you found our playlist on Spotify, you know how quickly it came together. We shared the link, and then there was like 100 songs on it 5 minutes later. And ever since then, we've all been dancing to, I mean, that's how I found you, Brooklyn. Everyone else already knew. All the witches I knew already knew, but I live in the woods and I don't know anything. But that's how I found you. And then I've just been dancing to my shadow and I, like, crying with my 3-year-old ever since. We fucking love this song. We love all your work. I reached out to Sherry and she was like, I just listened to Soul. Solstice on repeat. And I reached out to the Death Witch to see if she could be here today. And she's like, oh God, I just love her incense so much. And just tell her I love her so much. I wish I could be here today. So, I mean, all the witches who know how powerful Brooklyn's work is, both in what she makes and in the musical waves she sends out into the world. And she's here and she's hosting the podcast today. She's got questions. And I think she's going to sing for us after maybe she gets over my really gushy introduction.
Oh my God. But I'm so like awful at receiving compliments or anything that's just in the slightest bit positive towards me. So thank you. I'm really bad at receiving any sort of compliment, but I'm working on it. Obviously, I'm not doing a great job at it.
Yeah, we're gonna help you with that. We like to gush. Mm-hmm. Gush around.
We're just gonna gush until you're comfortable, I guess. Sorry. I mean, that makes me want to ask, what do you know about your shadow? I mean, you wrote this song. Talk to us about your shadow work. You have a relationship with your shadow. I mean, so many people are not comfortable talking about that, and you know it.
I named her Barbara. Her name is Barbara. It's no shade towards anybody that's name is Barbara. So I apologize. It's something my therapist, psychiatrist taught me, it's something I'm working on, is being a little bit more transparent with my mental health and stuff, because I think especially in the occult community, the new age community, which I personally do not resonate with, but if that's your thing, go off. Strictly in the witchcraft community, but I also can see little tidbits of the new age that I dig it. Like, there's just also some things like the starseed thing that's rooted in white supremacy that like I'm not into, but whatever. I think that because I have seen this push or this weird, it's getting really conflated, the mixture and the intersection between spirituality and science. And I'm very pro-science. I think that if anything, in the future, it'll probably be when I'm long gone and I'm deceased and reincarnated or whatever happens to me, I think that science will slowly start to be able to explain the magic in the world. I firmly believe that, because I think that time and time again, science has shown itself to explain things that we would have called magic. That being said, where we are now, I do believe it is important that we give mental health the proper platform. I say this because I constantly get questions all the time, whether it's our Witches of Atlanta podcast or my own personal Instagram or my shop's Instagram, questions of, I had this dream or I'm going through this. And a lot of it sometimes does correlate to mental health. And I am not, and I will say this and I say it in my DMs, I am not qualified to be a mental health professional. I think that, I don't know who coined it first, but mundane before magical. If you are having an issue, please go see a therapist, please go see a doctor. And then when all else fails, or in communion with, or in union with, or whatever the word is I'm looking for, have a therapist, and then also look for the magical remedies as well. But I am seeing a lot of denying the science and denying of health, denying that part that is huge. So this is why, huge, long, very long preface in what I'm about to say, that I feel it now, it's important for me to say that I am somebody that is neurodivergent. I have ADHD. I'm undergoing treatment for OCD. I'm somebody that grew up in a conservative Christian fundamentalist upbringing from a family that was an adoptive family for me, and that were very great. They were wonderful. But I think it's worth mentioning that it was an all-white family. It was in Wichita, Kansas. It was an all-white school. There were maybe 500 black people. And I had a history of bipolar disorder in my family, depression, all the things. And I, because I was adopted into this family, I had no idea that this is something that, and I think the more that, even just from a scientific standpoint and the studies that I've seen, the more we look into mental health, the more we're seeing a parallel. I'm not saying that. Yeah, I feel like you feel me so much. I love it.
I am. I'm just here listening to the magic and drinking it in.
Yeah, preaching. I want to give this preface because it's huge. I'm not saying correlation is causation. I'm just saying that there is a huge parallel we see in mental health and in the lineage, where there's a commonality and a reoccurring thing that happens, that this is why I even looked into it to begin with for myself, and realizing and getting diagnosed with ADHD and depression and anxiety. I would have never looked into it had I not looked into science more and looked into a psychiatrist, somebody that is a doctor, somebody that is trained in this and has spent half of their life learning what they learn. I say all this to say, I feel like that with my shadow and I, what I have learned with myself is that it is a culmination and this beautiful cauldron mix of yes, the depression, yes, the way in which my ADHD and OCD manifests, and also this other metaphysical side of myself that I will never, ever probably understand fully in its completeness, married together in a way that I am in constant communion with. I am constantly speaking to her. That is why I have given her the name Barbara, because one of my first therapists I have ever spoken to back when I was 20, 21, maybe, I'm now 28. And if I was Mariah Carey, I would not tell my age. I would say it's the anniversary of my 16th birthday, but I will never be Mariah, I wish. I found that that has been incredibly helpful, to give her a name or them a name. Mm-hmm. When she does overstep, or when, actually, let me just make her non-binary, because I don't like the fact of, now it's actually kind of hitting now. I don't really like giving a female pronoun to somebody that's being an antithesis of what I love. So we're just gonna give her non-binary. I actually don't like, it hit me now. I don't like that. So they have, and I do want to make it known just for anyone that maybe or may not be offended by that. The reason why I give she, her pronouns is because that's what I go by, and I relate to that. But I also can understand how that could be problematic, and it just dawned on me. So we're going to go with just non-binary, because women already have it hard enough as it is, and I don't want to make it harder for myself. So anyway, Barbara likes to come to me in moments where I'm feeling very positive about myself, feeling very like accomplished. And they like to come to me and just shoot that shit down. And I think that's why it's hard for me to take compliments, is because the second that y'all were like, oh, we love this song and we play it. And even when you emailed me and were telling me that, Barbara like came up in my psyche and was like, she doesn't really mean it. It's not really good. You could have changed that lyric. That lyric was shallow as fuck. You know what? Your 8-year-old brother could have wrote that lyric. It wasn't even that deep. Like, it wasn't that, you're not even that good of a poet. You know what I mean? Like, and we all have that. We all have Barbara, you know, or Bo. And the minute that we're feeling uplifted and accomplished in ourselves, they will always find a way to be like, nah. Mm-hmm. The one it, the one that good. They're just telling you that. They're just saying that. Mm-hmm. And giving them a name was the best thing I could have ever done. Because when I do have those moments, I'll listen, you know, I'll take it in. Because maybe they have something that is constructive criticism, and we should never skew from that. Otherwise, we'll be in a reinforcement chamber in a bubble that never challenges us. But once I let them have their moment, I listen, I take it in, and then I try to be skeptical, as they call it. And usually after that, I'm left with, no, you're wrong. That was good. And I put myself into that, and I poured every vulnerable and embarrassing aspect of me that needed to be put out into the ether so that I could just release it and relinquish it for the well-being of not only myself, but for others. And that's the whole reason I do music in the first place. And it goes back from when I was like in fifth or sixth grade, the first time I ever recorded myself or recorded in a studio, as it were. I did it because I had one of my mom's friends who came to me and heard something that I just had recorded on my like little voice memo thing, and it related to them in some way. And they were like kind of crying to me and telling me how it resonated with them and how it helped them get through whatever they were going through. And from then on, no longer was my shadow and I just us. It was, okay, we're going to collaborate together. We're going to write these songs together because you're just, I guess you're fucking stuck with me now and I can't get rid of you. So at least the least we can do is collaborate and just like create art with it. And you know what? It seems to help others. And so whenever I moved on to sign to a label and they were frustrated with me for only writing depressing songs, I didn't care because I know deep down that shadow work is crucial. And if you can't do that baseline shit, you're gonna be stuck with it for the rest of your life in a way that is not manageable, in a way that you can't overcome or will be at least difficult to overcome. So for me, my form of therapy with my shadow and I has always been music and songwriting. And that was a really long answer, and I'm so sorry.
One of our like repeated themes on the podcast is please expand. It's like, you know, when the teacher would write it on the side of your essay, like this here, please give us more of this. Fuck, give us more of this. And Amy and I, we co-author, so we do this to each other all the time. Like, oh shit, do this, give us more of this. So I don't think there's ever a moment where someone has apologized for how much they gave us that we were like, yeah, I wish that person didn't just give us so much.
You know, really shut up.
that's never happened. And especially talking about shadow work, which, you know, as you say, like if you don't start there, there's not much else place to go in terms of making magic or making your life or finding your ease or finding your health or finding your comfort, like finding your people. That's why I think that song was hit so hard, was like doing that shadow work is the stuff that changes everything. So and learning to love them, to meet them where they are and to see what they have to give you, even when they're being dicks. Can you talk about music as a spell? How is music a spell, or why is it?
Oh yeah, I could talk all night about it. I could talk your ear off about it, but I won't, or I'll at least try not to.
Oh please, expand.
No, it's fine. Like we're here. And also, like it really does. It truly does mean a lot to me to hear that it's not redundant or it's not annoying to hear, just because I think, again, with the mental health thing, it's something I'm still working through, is that, hey, sometimes our ADHD means that we like fucking bulldoze into a situation and we just talk and it just is what it is. And so if someone wants to let us know that we're taking too much space, they will let us know. And that is that. So that means a lot to me, although I still do try to like reel it in sometimes. Music is, I'll give a little bit of a hint towards something I'm working on right now. I am working on a book for The Sonic Witch, because it's not something that I have, and maybe it's something that is out there, I don't know. But it's not something that, in the same way you see a green witch or an eclectic witch or a kitchen witch or a insert what type of witch here, you don't really see it very much. And I think that for me, it was really surprising that there wasn't already like a Sonic Witch book or a, even just, I don't know, something that kind of, even if it's not just exclusively music or Sonic or what have you, it's been very, I guess just surprising to me that there's not a book that kind of has a focal point in on sound and vibration and music, because Nikola Tesla, who we should all be thanking for the fact that I even have this ring light right here in the first place, or this webcam that we're all talking on or what have you, said it best. I'm going to paraphrase just because I don't have it pulled up, but if you want to understand the universe, you must first understand sound and vibration. And actually, I want to look it up.
And so while you're looking it up, I will just say that, like, I definitely would consider myself to be a sonic witch. I think it was the first, like, real sense of otherworldly. Like, and again, I'm doing some writing about this myself. Everything starts with vibration.
Yes.
So that it really is that. Yeah. And then when you think about what we've done with this, like how someone took maybe an animal gut and some kind of hollowed out piece of something and learned how to control these things. Obviously animals make amazing music. I live in a place with a lot of birds.
We just had like 10 coyotes we saw.
Right, and they're ooh, ooh, ooh.
When I hear people say like it sounds creepy, I'm like, you're wrong. Sorry, go ahead, I'm sorry.
I was just filling time while you Googled the Tesla quote, so if you're ready, I'm ready to...
I want you to finish, though, because I love to speak, and I wanted to... Because I've listened to this podcast before, and I feel like you always have so much beautiful insight to add, and I want you to finish your sentiment. My ADHD brain comes in and fucking blows us over. Please finish.
I guess I was saying that, like, all of us creatures in the universe make a hum, but humans have taken it a little bit further. We've made drum machines. You know, we've not only made drums, we've made drum machines. I think we were making music before we were making language. That's my theory. I mean, I could cite some works to back up, but all of this to say, that's the air that I breathe, the water that I swim in. You know, my record collection is, you know, only as big as my musical instrument collection. And you know, I make music, but I'm also a huge fan. Like, there's really no, again, I've been writing about this, so I could talk about it and talk about it, but this is the way to change a whole situation. Anybody who's ever been in a bar or a club where the music went from this to that knows that this is like the ultimate spell casting, the ultimate vibe changing, the ultimate changing of energy. And when we talk about witchcraft, I feel like that's what we're talking about. So hit me with the Tesla.
Just sitting here like, yes, amen. Like the inner life to me is like, amen, yes, Lord, yes, amen.
Yeah. We all came here to testify tonight. We all came here.
I'm 100% completely, wholeheartedly in alignment with all of that. Like all of it.
Listen. But like let it be known that like finishing a thought is not something, you know, any of us here are super great at, because our conversations are so expansive. It's like, how do you finish, you know, your point about the whole construction of the universe and your place in it. So yeah, finishing a thought is not something that we're going to cling to too tightly tonight, if that's okay with you.
No, it's wonderful. I feel like I'm in good company, because it's something I always struggle with is like, Brooklyn, don't cut them off. They have a really good thing they're finishing, and I know you're really excited and you want to chime in because you're really excited, but you might miss out on something really profound or insightful. So shut the fuck up, Brooklyn. Oh, sorry. I don't know if I can curse. I'm so sorry.
yeah, you absolutely can.
You absolutely can.
But also, we don't want to miss out on whatever gold that you might forget by virtue of not interrupting.
So
it's a delicate balance that we're going to try to work here tonight, for sure. Mining all the gold, finishing all the thoughts. I'm going to mute myself, and maybe that'll like symbolic.
I'm in the best company right now. I feel like we're all in the same wavelength. I'm so glad I'm in good company that allows me the space to do my thing. And just thank y'all for being inclusive to people that are neurodivergent. It is a beautiful thing, and you don't see it a lot. So thank you. So the quote Nikola Tesla said is, if you want to find the secrets of the universe, think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. I want that to be put on my tombstone when I die. when we look at the foundational blocks of what everybody kind of sees, even in the introductory books of witchcraft. So even when you pick up a book that is for a quote unquote beginner, Wiccan, which I think I can speak for myself in, when I first started to really put my toes into the water of the occult, I started in Wicca. I'm not in it anymore. I respect it. That's how I started. Even when you look into traditional spaces of witchcraft, or when you look into things that should not be just lumped into witchcraft, like Santeria, Hoodoo, Voodoo, I think something that I do get a little bit frustrated in seeing is when things that are in the African diaspora, or I can't speak to other diasporas, but I can speak to my own. I do get frustrated when I see it get lumped into witchcraft as a whole, because not all people that would call themselves practitioners in hoodoo or voodoo would call themselves witches. I say all this to say that when we do look into, I feel like, almost all things that could be lumped under that umbrella, given that little caveat there, you will see a commonality of sound, vibration. Drums are huge. They are the fucking heartbeat to ritual. And that's the whole point of vibration and sonic. Herbs, which we see historically used in every different facet of the occult or of the metaphysical realm, things that are spiritual. Herbs, roots, resins are used in everything, and they all have their own vibration. That's why for some people, they can't use nuts, because maybe your vibration is allergic to peanuts and you can't fucking work with that shit, because not all herbal allies are for you. Not all herbal vibrations are going to resonate with you. That's why in music theory, we see an example of dissonance, which can be used intentionally. That's why I feel like in hexes or in baneful magic, we see things that are intentionally dissonant. They are meant to repel. They are meant to feel at unease, because that is their whole point. They are meant to be dissonant.
Often referred to as like the devil's chord.
Yes. Oh my god, the devil's triad is my favorite thing to use in music, and I will continue to use it no matter what anybody says. I want to piss everybody off. I'm going to keep using the devil's triad and all my shit.
Good.
Okay, Brooklyn, you're freaking me out right now, because this is so good. So we're talking science, we're talking magic, we're talking sonic, and it's just connecting now from what you just said. When we look at an allergy to a medicine, an allergy to an herb, and how that's something that's tied to a frequency, I'm going to have to go lay down.
Someone else might call it something different, you know, like that's just what I...
But it's speaking to me, so it's right.
It's so funny that you bring this up today. I had like a strong reaction to a food today, and so I was doing some research, and I read, which I had never read before, that the gut lining is lined with its own nervous system. So it's nerves, right? It's literally like a vibratory system that's like unhappy with certain things, certain shells of things. So I've been thinking about, I didn't think about it in terms of vibrations, but in terms of like electrical pulses or like the way that my nervous system can be on edge.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's why I don't use the Nikola Tesla quote. That's why I wanted to look it up, because there's more to it than just the aesthetic of how it sounds. It's true. It's something that even to this day, metaphysics aside, we have a family member that is had a stroke and everything like that. And music, vibration, sonics for them helps bring them back to a space in which they can kind of have a sense of familiarity again. We see this with people with Alzheimer's. It's huge in treatment for people with Alzheimer's. My grandmother, she had a stroke 6 years ago, I believe it was. She can't speak. I mean, she can speak okay. A lot of what she recites back to me, like she thinks I have a clone, she thinks I have a baby, you know, things like that. And I just kind of, it's just best to just go along with it. When music is incorporated into her environment and into her daily life, she remembers it like it was never a problem. No issue at all remembering the lyrics to Unchained Melody.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my darling, that song. Sonics in general are used scientifically, as we know in science, that if you can have a theory, if you have a hypothesis and it gets proved, it becomes a theory. In music, it is credible and it does work. And so I feel like I would be remiss to remove it from my practice and to not make it the focal point, especially since music has always, since the time I could talk, was my world. I think that that's why, like when you ask that question of music in my craft, that is why I'm even writing a book on it. And I've made that my focal point, is because not that I necessarily need things in this world to be substantiated for me to feel validated in it, but it definitely helps. It definitely only makes me feel more sound. No pun intended, but it makes me feel more sound in the way that I feel about my craft and incorporating music. And that's why, like, when I do my spell work, I don't just say it, I sing it. And if I'm doing Baneful Magic, I scream it. It definitely 100% makes a difference in the outcome.
I was gonna try to like casually segue into asking if Brooklyn wanted to, like, if this was the right time to sing, because we did talk about it, if you're comfortable with it.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, it really, for me, everything comes down to just the feeling at the moment. Like, obviously, if it were to be like, hey, can you do some work for me, and just, you know, knowing that my whole thing is to sing it or to scream it or to whisper or to what have you, then I'd be like, well, probably not, because right now I'm just being like, you know. But yeah, it just depends on like what it is, like what are we needing right now, what's the communal space that we're in, like what is everyone kind of needing, I guess, is the, I mean, because like obviously all day I could just like sing something for you, like I could just be like, and I'm singing a pretty song and da, 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 da. But if it's more of a like communal need, and like we need this space of healing, or we need this space of I need to relinquish frustrations or hint up ill-intending shit that I, you know what I mean, like it just depends on kind of
mm-hmm.
what it is, mm-hmm. you know, like obviously I could, if y'all just are like, I need just sing a pretty song, like
I mean thank you for offering it in that context. That's a really big gift to offer that way of bringing our community together, and offer that that power of song and that question to our community. I mean, I think there's going to be a way where just getting to hear someone make those vibrations across these portals is going to drop our shoulders mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. Drop our jaws and ease us together. I feel like this moment together is really, really special, and we're like kind of laughing, and we're like accepting the way that we weave in and out of thoughts, and accepting the way that that's going to go on forever. And I hope that you and all of our neurodivergent like family and covenmates feel like safe and loved in that. And know that all of those ways that your thoughts work are welcome and are a gift. And so I think that's what I think about if there's, I know Amy is thinking about the communal trauma of 2020, 2021. That's mm-hmm. a big ask. But and I know some of your music has been healing for some of us in going through that. Those are my thoughts in answer to your question.
Yeah, no, that helps me better kind of understand what to relinquish and what to kind of put forth into the atmosphere. So I think it's important to ask those questions in the same way that you don't want to misdiagnose someone with the wrong medication. I think that with music, it's important to kind of ask the same things. I think that's why, for example, growing up, I could listen to Mary J. Blige and be like a seventh grader who had never been in a relationship in my whole fucking life. But I put on like, "Too Gone for Too Long, Yeah, Just Be Without You, Baby." And I'm like, yes, I don't know who my boyfriend is, but like he's been gone and I'm sad about it. And like, I'm gonna look out the window of the school bus window and cry about nobody I've been in a relationship with. Because music can fucking do that. Like, it can make you feel like you're missing somebody you've never fucking known and you've never experienced. And so, I'm not saying it's the same thing as medicine. I'm just saying that it has a lot of power behind it. And that's why I asked that question before moving forward. And Mary J. Blige will always be my fucking shaman in a lot of ways. I can definitely do that. If it's the communal healing for the trauma of 2020, 2021. Ooh, girl. Woo, I feel that one.
Yeah. I just feel like that trauma was so communal, but we're sort of lacking in the communal, acts of healing. So I get the vibe that maybe you could help us with that.
Thank you. That means a lot. When it comes to things like this, I tend to rely on things that are kind of sonically tradition for me. I was raised Christian. I was raised in the church. Sometimes it is really hard for me to listen to things that are even slightly derivative of the church. Almost hurtful to me, hearing certain words, certain vernacular. But there has been one song that, because I know that it comes from the African diaspora and I know the roots in it, it doesn't hit in a way that feels wrong, like a wrong chord. His Eyes on the Sparrow, I wanted to ask if anyone here has any trauma behind that. But for me, that song is the one song that actually heals for me, because I can look at the lyrics in that song as beyond Abrahamic faith. It just goes far beyond it for me. Speak now or forever hold your peace. Cause
it sounds like that's a perfect offering where Zoe's in her grandmother's room and it's her grandmother's favorite song, so we're already, I think we're already sort of settling in to our tears and the edges of our seats. So thank you.
Okay, well then that's
I would just ask that
everybody take a minute, let's take a deep breath in. Hold it. Keep holding. Keep holding. Keep holding. I know it's, you might be feeling a little thin. Keep holding it until you can't. Even if it's hard, just keep it. Keep it. You can do it a little bit longer. Keep it. If not, it's okay. Release. Any memories that you can envision in your mind right now that bring you happiness, joy, even things that make you feel sad, but in a more insightful way, in a way that helps you to feel more aligned with who you are. There is a space and a place for those feelings that are helpful to us in our spiritual evolution. So whatever that is for you, as long as it's uplifting and beneficial for you, envision those.
Why should I feel discouraged? And why should the shadows come? Why does my heart seem lonely and long for heaven to come? When Jesus is a portion, and I know he watches me. I sing because I'm happy, and I sing because thank you.
Wow.
Hey, go ahead.
Come on.
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I'm not ready. Somebody else have a question.
I'm not ready for none of that. Go ahead. That's all I got to say is go ahead. Yes, that's what I needed.
I felt it. Like,
mm-hmm.
It was a cleansing.
I'm not going to take any sort of credit because
that's what you do. Mm-hmm. you get uncomfortable when people praise you for your obvious.
That is the gift.
But like, also, like, it's just not, I don't know, maybe it's like the church coming out in me, but it's not me. Like, it's whatever you want to call it, spirit, God, Jesus, whatever your thing is.
Sure, I buy that, but it's partly you.
Yes.
I see what you're saying. Yeah. And then I know part of it's like me not taking compliments. So it's a happy culmination of spirit, source, divine, whatever, and then
mm-hmm.
me just not being good at taking compliments. So somewhere in there.
Our church is the church of knowing what you're fucking amazing at, and
yeah.
And
yes. Yes.
That.
yes.
You know, not coming in like, I'm a better singer than all y'all, which of course you did not do, and I'm not saying, but that to me is like the difference between, you know, someone who loves themselves in kind of an ugly way and someone who loves themselves in a beautiful way. Like, not that I'm better than anybody else, but I am fucking amazing. And thank, you know, singing, thank freedom. Thank all of these little clues that we get to our own amazingness.
Thank you for giving and providing me the space to express any gifts that I have and to be the conduit for that. And I'm real at the older I get and the more into my craft I get, the more I am accepting that this is a gift that Source has given me for a reason to use for that reason. And back when I was Christian, and I still, I my family's still very Christian, and I support them in that. I never want it to sound like this is a bashing Christians thing at all. I respect everyone's beliefs. But from my own experience, I will say that I used to look, and still am working through the trauma of that, looking at my gift like it can only be used for church. It can only be used for glorifying Abrahamic white Jesus or Abrahamic God. And that's just not it. Because I know with all my heart that whoever Source is, God, Allah, whatever, what have you, is beyond this minuscule and this such humanistic need of praise in that kind of way. Like, if God is all-knowing, omniscient, all-powerful, beyond what we could ever comprehend, and even beyond the Christian guise, like, it is the connector of all of us. It is within us and beyond us. It's more than just praise. It's more than just giving everything to them. And even if we were to look at it like that, if we are giving all is to them, then really what we're doing is recycling that energy back to us, because we are a part of that. So it's all just renewed energy. It's a communal thing. And really, in the grand scope of life, this whole species, this whole planet, this whole cosmos is renewed and is giving praise to one another, and it's a communal exchange of energy and gratitude and love that should be renewed. And I feel like that maybe was what they all meant in the beginning, and it got mistranslated or got abused. So I say all that to say thank you. That means a lot, and it's helping me to evolve spiritually in my own craft. So thank you.
Brooklyn, I have to, something that resonated with me is your ability in your song. There are certain times, I noticed this with the song Solstice. So when I listen to Solstice, there are certain parts of that song where you go into those upper registers. Mm-hmm. And it speaks to a certain part of soul spirit. We have a translation that goes beyond a word. Mm-hmm. And you have that gift to give that, that everyone can hear it, no matter what they speak natively.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I think you just helped me in more ways than I would have ever been able to explain or describe. Thank you. Like, really, thank you. Because I think that might be part of my stump for growing up in the church and singing for the church and singing for what I knew was and was raised in as God and Jesus. It almost feels like, to put it in a generalized term, a language barrier. Metaphysically or cosmologically, it's that language barrier of this is the word we used for it, and you just helped me understand that it was a soul singing, it was a soul note, it was something that, and not just me, but like, because I've also like listened to other artists where I hear them, and even like I still to this day I will put on gospel music. It's this guttural, like, I can't explain it, but like
it's inexplainable. Yes.
Yeah, like I'm hitting this frequency, not to make it into sonics again, but I'm hitting this frequency that it, like you said, it's that soul note that like, and it's not even the note. It's not the note itself. It's what the person that's singing it is emitting, and the way that it's vibrating and resonating in my own ears, that it's like, I don't even care what your belief is. It's the same way that I can listen to Buddhist monks and just be, I'm just like, okay, whew, that's hitting. It transcends the Christian realm of music. It's also, when I hear fucking Stevie Nicks sing Gold Dust Woman in 1970,
yes.
And she is doing her full, like, Stevie is a witch. Okay, first and foremost, she is a witch, and don't let her tell you otherwise, because she is. And when she goes on stage, it's a fucking ritual. Don't let her tell you otherwise. The way that she completely releases and relinquishes her whole body, her vocal tonality, the way she's singing everything, it is a ritual.
Mm-hmm.
You are a part of it, and it's a good thing to be a part of. And I've seen her live, and it's the same thing. She played here in Atlanta 5 years ago. It was the same thing, and it was amazing. And I can't wait till the next time. This isn't a Stevie promo. Just to say that, thank you. You put it in words that I could never fully understand. So
you are so welcome. You are so welcome.
I feel emotionally prepared to tell you this story now. I've been working with my grandfather lately, and we interviewed a PhD candidate at Emory, Marcelit Faita, recently. She's a hereditary Black witch. She was trying to explain ancestor healing, and she said it in this way that like really shook me and has changed my relationship to my grandfather. And she said, you know, when we give problematic ancestors the opportunity to help us with our work now, we give them a chance to make right, and that heals them. So when we call them in and say, I need you to do this work now, be with me, it's okay, you know. I had such a a trauma or a shame trauma with the church around my talents, my who I am can only exist if it's for this particular kind of utility and only exist in this space that feels like my head has to be down at all times for patriarchy. And so leaving it was like I was betraying myself somehow, and it was betraying my grandfather and betraying everything he had given up. And while you were singing, and he's been working with me and he's been helping me heal other family members' homeless situations, and like he's been stepping up and it's been great. And you were singing and I was sobbing and like feeling him. He used to play the organ and sing those songs in his church, you know. And I have a book of his notes here, and I pulled them down while you were singing. And the first thing I saw was, everything has a consequence, never be ashamed.
That's a bar, first of all. that's heavy, but in a really deep, guttural way.
Yeah.
Oh man, that hits. Oof.
Yeah, I had kind of a thought while you were both talking about this, like, my gift can only be for this, but replacing the Lord with, like, capitalism, replacing the church with capitalism. I should only sing if I can make some money off my band camp. I should only play an instrument if I am of a professional grade. And I've been kind of writing about this a little bit, so it's kind of on the tip of my tongue. But to me, it's the same action. It's like people who are creative and limitless are sort of have this limit of, you can only use your gift for this, whether it's the church, whether it's the almighty dollar. I think that whatever is the thing that connects us disagrees with both of these options.
That's an amazing point, actually, because whether we like it or not, a lot of churches that are out there and that we were raised in operate off of this capitalistic mindset. I remember going to a Pentecostal church that kept the doors closed until we all gave enough offering to leave. Like, and I don't know how that slipped my fucking memory. Until you said that, I was like, you know what? This is why I love having a community with fellow witches and things and what have you, because it has, for me, I can only speak for myself, helped me to challenge not only the beliefs I have, but also help me to grow spiritually. So thank you for saying that, because capitalism in the church world, sometimes they're a little too hand in hand, and we forget about that. Mm-hmm. And that is probably, honestly, at least a component in feeling like sometimes our gifts should only be used for something transactional rather than communal. And that's a problem.
So I want to be respectful of everybody's time and energy. We've kept you for longer than we said we would already, and I feel like we would all just keep going. But I wonder if we did talk about two songs. I know Amy and I had like a list of 7,000 questions, so maybe we will collaborate together again. But I wondered if... sometimes at the end of these episodes, we invite the person to share like an incantation or a spell. If you have another song in you, do you feel like you have something that would lift us up out of here?
I think I do.
Yeah, I'll let the form of it be up to you. We often ask people if there's an incantation or a ritual or a practice that's like helping them right now, that's sustaining them, that other people could hear or learn from wherever they are. The idea of sort of both amplifying your working and also, you know, that they can send energy back to you and be of support to you too, so that, because everything has a consequence, and never be ashamed, you know, like Grandpa said.
I love that. I do love that. You know, I think rather than me giving an incantation or my form of an incantation to end that with, which would be a song, I'm feeling more pulled to just try to find the words. Give me a second. I'm just staring at like the ground right now to really fully like reel it in. So I'm not like hearing, it's weird. I'm not hearing sound at all at the moment. It's weird, and I'm getting a beat, a pause, if you will. And I don't know if this is just for me. I know it is for me. because I do have such an issue with this certain thing. I'm more so receiving a message more of silence, quiet, stillness, a moment of, yeah, a moment of just stillness, like if you were on a bay, on a beach or something right now, and you could just hear the waves crashing in, and that's the most sound you're hearing. Maybe some seagulls. I don't know. Maybe you're getting that. But I'm hearing I'm not even getting crickets right now. Like I'm getting complete, and this is like rare for me, especially like I said before, being someone with ADHD, my brain never shuts the fuck up at all. So the fact that I'm like actually able to hear nothing right now is actually for me very weird. So I'm gonna take that as a sign that maybe that might be what my ending message is to leave, is to take even that 5 seconds of stillness for me was felt off but right. So even if it's 5 seconds for you, 30 seconds, a minute of complete and utter stillness, and I mean even in your brain, cognitively, if you can get to that point, and I know that's not even easy to do with meditating, especially if you're neurodivergent, it can be really hard. So if you can get to at least 5 seconds of stillness and rest, I'm getting a message of rest. But that's just what I'm instinctually feeling right now. I don't know if that resonates, but that's what I'm, that might just be my own ancestors being like, bitch, we need a moment. Like, yeah. You're just always doing something. Can you please just be in stillness right now? 100%.
Thanks for that. Thanks for that. Thanks for being here and sharing all of that. Thank you to our listeners and our collaborators out along all of the waves. We are like a chorus of crickets and waves and biomes and ferns and people reaching for each other in the dark of the new moon and always. And yeah, let's just be quiet for a little while. as my 3-year-old says, I love you soon. Blessed fucking be, everybody.
Thanks, Brooklyn. Thanks, Sherry. Thanks, Zoe. Thanks, Kat. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Megan. We'll talk to everyone soon. We love you.
You must be a witch.
The Missing Witches podcast is brought to you by the Missing Witches Coven. Join us right now on patreon.com/missingwitches. Blessed fucking be.